My Father is omnipotent, and that you can deny. O God of might and miracles, 'tis written in the sky. He took a miracle to put the stars in place. He took a miracle to hang the world in space. But when he saved my soul, cleansed and made me whole, it took a miracle of love and grace. Though here his glory has been shown, we still can't fully see the wonders of his might, his throne. 'Twill take eternity. He took a miracle to put the stars in place. He took a miracle to hang the world in space. But when he saved my soul, came and made me whole, it took a miracle of love and grace. The Bible tells us of his power and wisdom all the way through, and every little bird and flower are testimonies too. He took a miracle to put the stars in place. He took a miracle to hang the world in space. But when he saved my soul, came and made me whole, it took a miracle of love.
Thank you for that special. Appreciate that. If you would stand to your feet, and if you find your Bibles, we're going to go to the book of Malachi. I know that might be a little tricky for a few. If you find the book of Matthew and go back one book, you're at the book of Malachi, the last book in the Old Testament. Malachi chapter number 1. So if you go to Matthew, go back one book, you're in Malachi chapter number 1. Just wanted to give you a challenge today to see if you could find that. And Malachi chapter 1. I want to look at one verse here, and then we'll turn to the chapter 4 in a moment and look at a verse as well. Did you find it already? I think we're good. All right, great. Malachi chapter 1 and verse number 6. This Bible says, "A son honoreth his father, and a servant his master. If then I be a father, where is mine honor? And if I be a master, where is my fear? Saith the Lord of hosts unto you, O priests that despise my name, and ye say, wherein have we despised thy name?" Now, if you'll turn to chapter number 4 and verse number 6. Very last verse of the Old Testament in the book of Malachi, the Bible says in verse number 6, "And he shall turn the heart of the fathers to the children, and the heart of the children to their fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse." Let's pray. Lord, I pray for your help today with this service. Lord, I think of this Father's Day, what a special day it is. Lord, may we again turn our hearts and our minds to you and think about you, speak to our hearts, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. In these verses here, we look at, in Malachi chapter 1, a son honoreth his father, the Bible says, and a servant his master. And then it continues on to say, "If then I be a father, where is mine honor?" Israel had turned away from the Lord. And the Father, the Bible says the Son is to honor his Father, but then it says to the Father, where is mine honor? Today we live in a day where in many ways Dad and Father have lost their honor. In chapter 4, verse number 6, it says, and you shall turn the heart of the fathers to the children and the heart of the children to the fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse. And God is trying to turn that family back to each other. If you don't notice already, the family system is really broken in our country today. Families are broken today. And the term that is really used, and it's a broken home. And to where there's not a dad in the home or a mom in the home or either, and children are being raised by someone else. But we have some broken homes today. And I want to encourage you with this thought of today about what Father's Day means to me. What Father's Day means to me. As you think about that, I understand that Father's Day, for some, maybe dad wasn't the example that you would have hoped for. Was not a spiritual example. Maybe wasn't a father that was there for your family. And as many are, they're raised by a mother and not a father, or raised by grandparents. So I understand Father's Day can be difficult for some, or maybe because this is first Father's Day with Dad in heaven. And so, but for many, I believe there was a good example. Not a perfect example, because there is no perfect man or perfect woman, only Jesus Christ, but an example of a father that God put in your life. This term of honor, where it says about honoring the Father, honor is something that is earned and something that's given. Honor is something that's earned and something that's given, where you can be dishonorable and lose that honor that would be given to you. The Bible does command us to honor thy father and thy mother. That is one of the Ten Commandments, to honor the father and thy mother. So I want to give you a challenge today. In Proverbs 17, verse number 6, there's a verse here that says, children's children are the crown of old men, and the glory of children are their fathers. In many ways, the fathers today are under such attack in our country. Men and fathers under so much attack today. Some of that, again, is because men have not stepped up to the role as a man and as a father, and so that role is being attacked. And some of that is because we've given some of that away. Others, it's been attacked by the devil and by this world to try to attack the family role and attack the God-given gender or role that God put in the home. I want to challenge you today that there is still an honor of being a father. I want to say that again. There is still an honor of being a father. In today's day and age, you want to say, well, you know, anyone can choose to be any gender and any role and any parent they want to be. It doesn't work the way God set the rules, and God put a mother and a father in a home. Satan's been attacking that since the beginning of time. He's been attacking that family and that role since creation. I want to talk to you about this today, about what Father's Day means to me and giving Dad the honor that's due to him. I want to kind of turn the message for a moment here and talk about this, how dads kind of get a bit of a bad reputation. Dads get a little bit of a bad reputation. We're accused of things that really just aren't true. And you think you'll understand what I mean here in a bit. Dad's been accused of sneezing unusually loud. There's nothing quite like the sneeze of Dad to wake up the house, right? Dads have been accused of falling asleep pretty much anywhere, at any time, in any location. It doesn't matter. Anything can become a pillow and a place to sleep. Dads have been accused of giving unasked for advice and giving some wisdom to maybe even a stranger that we don't know, just to help and guide them in their life. I am that person now. I didn't know that, but I am that person. Dads have been accused of commenting on gas prices for no apparent reason in any state, any place you drive by, that we are just inclined to comment and make sure everyone in the car knows what the gas prices are today, right? Maybe not me, but others. And just so you know, boys, that'll be you someday too. I'm not going to do it. Yes, you are. We're training you that way. Dads are accused of eating louder and faster than anybody else. I remember as a child, my sister and I, without telling my dad, we would try to race him to finish eating. He didn't know it was a contest, and he beat us every time. And sometimes we'd sit there and go, okay, let's see who can win, and he'd still beat us. Dad has been accused of being possessive of his chair in the house. or the remote, and no one else can touch that or have it, because that's Dad's. That's Dad's place. That's don't touch the remote. Don't sit in Dad's seat, or you will be sat on. Right? That's a rule, I think, in every man, every boy, you need to realize that. Dads have been accused about being particular about their barbecues and their lawn. There's a certain way you take care of them, and there's a certain way you don't do it. If you didn't know that, just go mess with Dad's barbecue or lawn, and you realize there's a right and a wrong way to do that. Dad has been accused of having some Dad sayings, right? And again, before you make fun of Dad, boys, you will do the Dad saying someday as well. You'll do the corny jokes, you'll mess with your kids, because that's what dads do, right? And so guys, you know, men will say something like this: I wasn't sleeping, I was just resting my eyes. That's a dad statement, okay, if you're not sure of that. Someone's been in the bathroom too long, did you fall in? That's a dad statement, all right? You have to embarrass your children. It's God gave us that role, I think, as a parent. We could go down the list. I've got a whole lot that I could give to you today. How about this one? It's not heavy, it's just awkward. Not that I'm not strong enough to do it. It's just too awkward to carry. And so we can kind of laugh at all the dad sayings and the things that dads do. And you might say, I'm not that person, but you are. Everyone has their own dad way of doing things. And dads think they're cool. Even though everyone else doesn't think so, dads think that they're cool. And the younger ones don't. But again, you'll be there someday as well. I read this quote this week: every dad is the family role model, whether he wants the job or not. Every dad is the family role model, whether you want it or not. You're being looked up to. That's dad. And guess what? That title of dad never runs out. That title of dad or mom, that's a lifetime title that you have. And that's an example that you have for life. I read this: one father is more than 100 schoolmasters. Every father should remember one day his son will follow his example, not his advice. He's going to follow the example that you gave to him. The power of a dad in a child's life is unmatched. This person said, my father didn't do anything unusual. He only did what dads are supposed to do, be there. And there's more that there is needed from a dad, but a dad that's just being there for his children. There's a boxer, Ken Norton. He said, of all the titles I've been privileged to have, dad has always been the best. Of all the titles I had, all the belts he won, the titles he had, the greatest title he had was the title of dad. Father is a God-given privilege and responsibility, a title that a number of men here are privileged to wear. There is something about being handed your child in the hospital and says, here you go, dad. And then in a moment you realize, what did I do, right? And they're going to send me home with this child and expect me to keep him alive? And you say, well, at least I have a wife to help to keep the child alive, and I'll help with the other things that I need to do, right? But it's a God-given privilege and responsibility that God has given to you, dad, that no one can take away, but you can give that title away. No one can take away the title of dad, but that can be one that you can relinquish, you can give up, because you are not fulfilling the duties of dad or father in your home. Today is a special day. It's a day to remember, it's a day to think, a day to thank the Lord. I want to give you a few points today about what Father's Day means to me, and that we could take a challenge from this to where dads have their honor. Number one is this, very simple: honor your father. Honor your father. It's in the Ten Commandments. In Exodus 20, verse 12, the Bible says, honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. I think a subtitle for that point is, I brought you into this world, I can take you out as well, that you may live long on the earth. I think that kind of goes together. I'm not trying to add to the Bible. But honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. That phrase is used a number of times in the Bible where God repeats the command to honor your father and your mother. And guess what? It is a command, not a suggestion. Amen? It's a command, not a suggestion, to honor your father and your mother. Ephesians chapter 6, the Bible says, children, you all know this verse, you can quote it with me. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. It continues on to say, honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise. And here's the attachment to that promise, that it may be well with thee. That it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. Again, God commands us to honor, but then he gives a promise that's attached to honoring your father and your mother. To honor is to hold and respect. You may say, well, they didn't earn that title and they're not upholding that title, but there is still a special honor given, either way, that should be given to father and mother. Honor your father. Number one under this, or subpoint, if you will, honor the father that God gave to you. Honor the father that God gave to you. I'm thankful for the father that God gave to me. You may not know this, but now you will. I'm a junior. I was named after my father, and I won't tell you why I did not continue that name to my son, and I'll just leave it at that. But I'm a junior named after my father. If a Becker man walks in the room, you know. There's a certain look that we have. There's a certain quirkiness that we have. There's certain jokes that we have that when we get together, they just run true through the family. But I'm thankful for the father that God gave to me. There's things that my father taught me that I do today exactly as my dad taught me. You know this. If dad has taught you something, you could be 50 years old and you're putting gas in the lawnmower and you think, God, dad told me how to put gas in the lawnmower and I still need to do it right, or dad's going to come and tell me how to put gas in the lawnmower the right way. There's things that dad teaches you as a boy that sticks with you for the rest of your life, right? Again, for the example that was given to you, honor your father. Honor the father that God gave to you. There's a phrase that goes around that says it takes a village to raise a child. That's wrong. That's wrong. It does not take a village. That's the government trying to raise your children for you, by the way. But God gave children to a mother and a father, to a home, that God blessed that family and gave a child a miracle, a gift from the Lord. It takes a godly father and a godly mother to raise their children up for the Lord. Honor the father that God gave to you. Honor the right that he taught you. Honor the right that your father taught to you. There's a lot of things that were taught to you that you can follow and that you can pass on to your children. There's things that my dad taught to me that I pass on to my son. There's things that I pass on to my son that I pray that he will continue to pass on as well. The right that you were taught, we must pass on. We must be teaching the next generation. We must be instilling that we have too many absent fathers. We have too many absent dads that literally just show up at home. They go to work, they pay the bills, but at home, that are just absent, not investing in their home and their family the way that they should be. Fathers, you have a time frame that I'm reminded about by all of our older generation that your children are out of the home, that remind my generation often and says it goes so quick, right? It goes so quick. The children that are in your home today is just a blink until they're out. You have a time frame to influence the next generation. Do not take that influence lightly. Don't take it lightly that you can influence and to train them and take it a step further. Train them in the Word of God. Dad, that you can pass down your faith. We sang that song already, Faith of Our Fathers. Faith of Our Fathers. May we pass down a heritage to the next generation, to the young men, that they would take the faith of dad, of father, and they would take that and pass it on to the next generation. Honor the right that your father taught you, the lessons that he taught you, to continue that on further. Number two is this. Not only should we honor your father, but number two, to our dads, step up to your God-given role. We need dads to step up to their God-given role. When I was a boy, I played baseball. I loved playing baseball probably more than any sport as a boy. Got into playing basketball when I was older. And we go in the backyard. There's something about dad and his son playing catch, right? And I'd get my glove out there, and we'd get in the backyard, and I'd throw the ball with my dad. And we had a good time with that. And my dad would throw it faster and faster. I'm like, Dad, watch out. I remember playing baseball, and when I was young, I was a little scared of the ball. And one time it popped me right in the eye and gave me a big old black eye. And I think about that with baseball. And when I played, I was a little bit nervous about getting hit by a pitch, rightfully so, because they give a boy that can throw the ball like 75 miles an hour that has no control, a hard object, throwing it at somebody else really close to them. Made me a little nervous, as you could figure. And so my dad's like, he's like, Mark, just get up there and hit the ball. And I remember that one game specifically, my dad said, if you hit the ball, we're going to get ice cream. There's no better incentive for a boy than food, right? Pizza and ice cream, do you need more of an incentive? I remember getting up there in that game and I hit that ball. I could picture the night, the sunset. I could picture it all, and I hit the ball out to center field. It was a long hit. The outfielder should have caught it. That's aside from the story. He dropped it and I got a hit, and I was so excited. But guess what? At some point, I had to step up to the plate. At some point, I had to be willing to step up and say, it's my turn. And you're the next one in the batting order, and it's your job to go hit the ball. We have too many dads that aren't stepping up to the plate today. We have too many dads that are absent fathers. In the United States, approximately 18.3 million children live without a father in the home. Over 18 million children without a father in the home. That represents one out of every four children. Think about that for a minute. No wonder our society's a mess today. One out of four children have no father in the home. And to make this even further, specifically 17.8 million children live without a father, stepfather, or adoptive father in the home. Nearly 18 million raised by mom. Thank the Lord for moms that are stepping up, because there's too many dads that are not. That's a shame, isn't that? Almost 18 million without any father figure of any sort in the home. I'm thankful for moms, but it takes a father to raise a man. Amen? It takes a father to raise a man. I'm thankful for godly women and ladies, but there's something about a dad, a man, to raise a man. And we have too many men that are either not in the home or are absent in the home, not involved in the home. Men, we must step up to the plate. We must step up. There's too many men taking a back seat. Let me help you with this. I want to encourage you with this. I'm thankful for men that go to work every day, aren't you? I'm thankful for men that go to work and work hard and labor and sweat, and you work hard and you come home and you've given your all. And when you come home, you're tired, aren't you? What do you want to do when you get home, right? I want to sit on the couch. I want to rest. I'm tired. And what happens when you get home? What do the kids do? When we open the garage door, kids come running out. They're just out of the house when I get there. And if I'm on a phone call, I try to finish it before I get to the driveway, because they know I'm coming. Or leave the garage door shut because they can't reach the opener yet. But guess what? When you're home, you need to be home, Dad. You need to be home. And you get home, Dad, let's go play, let's go do this. And sometimes I think, I'm tired, but that's okay, let's go. Let's go play. Let's jump. And they want to do everything active and tiring when I'm already tired. You think, you know what? Let's go, let's do it. Because Dad needs to be involved in the home. You need to be an involved parent. How can Dad step up to the plate? Number one, the best way that you can step up to the plate in your home is by loving your God. Dad, the best way you can step up to the plate in your home is by loving your God. And you take the Word of God every day and spend time with God, because the more that you love God, the more you'll love your family the right way. Amen? The more you love God and get instruction from God, the more that you can help and raise the right kind of home and the right kind of family, to love your family. Ephesians 5:25 says, husband, love your wives, as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. The example of a father in the home, think about this, is the example of Christ. Not because we're perfect, fellas. Not because we're perfect, but that's the example we are to give in our home. That love, that sacrifice, that providing, that protection that we would get from our God. The Bible says we should love the Lord with all of our heart, soul, and mind. Dads, how's your love for God today? We have too many homes where mom is leading the home spiritually, and we need men to lead the home spiritually. Again, I'm thankful for ladies that step up when the men won't. But men, I want to challenge you today that you'd step up spiritually and get that bat and step up to the plate and lead your family to love God. Amen? To teach them the Word of God, to pray with your children, to lead your family spiritually and step up to the plate. Don't let someone else raise your home. Don't let YouTube raise your home and Disney and a cell phone. You raise your home, your children, your young people for the Lord. Step up to the plate. Lead by example. Lead by example. It's one thing, there's a very bad saying. Do as I say, not as I do. And that's a terrible example, isn't it? You know, don't do this while someone's smoking. Well, if they shouldn't do it, you shouldn't either. Now, if it's a bowl of ice cream, that's different, all right? I can eat it, but you can't, right? But lead by example, men. You don't tell your children to go to church. You take them to church. Amen? You don't tell them to read their Bible. You read the Bible with them. You instruct them. You lead the way. Dad, be honest, hardworking, love the Lord. Be real. Lead by example. What does Father's Day mean to me? Number one, that we should honor our fathers. Number two, that dads need to step up to their God-given role. And then lastly, today is this, for our young people, determine what kind of father you will be someday. I remember as a young person, I came from a broken home and parents that loved us to the end of the world, but there was a bit of a mess there, if you will. But I remember as a young man looking up thinking, I want to have a godly and a loving home someday. As a young boy, I remember thinking about what kind of home that I wanted to have someday. Guess what? You don't have a godly and a wonderful home by accident. You don't stumble upon marrying the right person. You don't just stumble upon the will of God and doing God's will for your life. You have to determine to do that, to have a godly home. You say, well, we've had some mistakes in our home and our lives as parents. God can help to put the pieces back together, but determine right now what kind of home that you want to have. Because the home you have right now is the one that you have made. Young people, determine what kind of home you want to have someday. Your future is ahead of you. It's so important, young people, for our teenagers in the room here today, it's so important that you do it the right way. You want to do it the right way. God has a perfect plan for your life if you'll simply follow Him. Why? Because God's way is always best. Determine what kind of home you want to have someday, or to our parents, to our adults here, what kind of home you want to have today. To our young people, watch. Watch. Remember as a young person, I was quiet. I didn't ask questions. If there was ever question and answer time, you could guarantee I was not the one asking the questions. But I was watching. As a young man, I remember thinking, I want to have a home like that someday. I want to have a home like that someday. I was watching those that had no idea that I was watching. And I said, that's the kind of home that I want to have someday. Watch. Listen. Listen to those that are instructing you. Your dad, your grandfather, the ones that you think as a teenager that don't know anything, give it 5 or 10 years and you're going to realize that your parents and grandparents knew a whole lot. Right? Someday you realize how smart your parents have become in just a few years, but it's really you becoming smarter to realize that they were trying to instruct you. Listen, young people, and prepare for the future that God has for you. Determine what kind of home that you want to have. You say, I didn't grow up in a perfect home. Nobody did. No one had that perfect home. But you can decide what kind of home that you want to have someday. If you do it God's way, God will bless. Amen? You do it God's way. We have a country that is tearing apart the home left and right. Tearing apart marriage and gender and every part of it that you can. And God has a role and a plan for the family. And I want to say this very carefully but clearly. Dad is the head and the leader of the home. And if we give up that role, our society is going downhill. Men, we must step up to the plate. We must step up to the plate. Honor your father. I hope if you haven't already, you've called dad already or texted him or sent him a card. Honor your father. Thank the Lord for them. If you haven't already, go to God in prayer and say, God, thank you for the godly men in my life, dad, grandfather, others that influenced your life, and thank the Lord. But then also don't forget to thank your Heavenly Father. If you didn't do that already, I started this morning, say thank you for being a perfect Heavenly Father. He's never failed me once. He's never left me once. He's never made a mistake. God is perfect Heavenly Father for an example for us to follow. With head bowed and eyes closed, please, we'll finish with a word of prayer. Do you know the Lord is your Savior? We didn't talk a whole lot about that this morning, but do you know Jesus Christ as the only way to heaven? Jesus said, I'm